Christmas to you all. It's a privilege to have you out here tonight to celebrate Christmas with us, from my family to your family and all those who are here together gathered on a cold Christmas Eve night. Just a little bit, probably the coldest we've had in a long time, but we're here tonight to behold Jesus, to take a good long look at him, and to behold means to take a sight in, something that you can't quite take in all at once. You've got to just look at it for a while. You've got to go, wow. When I was 9 years old, I got my favorite Christmas present ever. This is going back a while. This was an Atari 7800. Some of you in this room have no idea what that is, especially if you're of the younger generation. Let me put it this way, it's like an Xbox Series X, but more awesome. All right? Like, you think your video games are awesome today. Like, the Atari 7800 was amazing. It had Dig Dug. It had Mrs. Pac-Man. It had Choplifter, Pole Position. Those were the best games. So anybody in this room, anybody ever play an Atari 7800? Come on. That's what I'm talking about. It was great. And when my brother and I opened that gift on that Christmas morning, we couldn't believe my parents had actually sprung that much money into a gift. We opened it up and we were like, oh, can you believe this? Like, whoa, check it out. We could not even behold that gift that morning. And just like that, we want to behold Jesus here on this Christmas Eve. As we sit here in this night, remembering what happened 2,000 years ago, may we behold him thinking, wow, look what he has done. Look what he came to bring us. And may we take that in with all that we can. Take Jesus for all that he is for us. We've been going through a series here in this December to behold Jesus, and we've used an outline by a man who has been gone over 100 years. His name's A.B. Simpson. And he put together an outline of the salvation that Christ has brought us. And it stands the test of time because it's based out of Jesus' word in the Bible. And so here's the four parts: Christ our Savior, Christ our Sanctifier, Christ our Healer, and Christ our Coming King. Let me just briefly explain those to you to catch you up. Christ our Savior is this idea that Jesus stepped into our world to save people like us, came into our mess, took on flesh so that he could carry the weight of the world's sin, he who is innocent to die for those who were guilty, us, went to the cross and paid for our sin. In fact, his name Jesus means the Lord saves, the Lord rescues. And so that was a couple of weeks ago. We looked at Christ our Savior, but a lot of Christians will receive Jesus as Savior and kind of stop there. Kind of go, okay, that's great. He saved me from my sins of my past. But Christ our Sanctifier is a fancy way of saying that Jesus comes and he moves in. He takes up residence inside of us and he gives us an entirely new kind of life. A life where he's with us, where he's with us to face every struggle. He's with us to help us through every temptation and every kind of sin. He's with us in our life to transform us. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And then we looked at Christ our Healer, that Jesus has come to take on all of not only the sin, but the mess of sin, the curse of sin, everything that has been broken in our world. Christ is a healer. He died for it all. And he can come into our lives and he can heal things that are broken, including our bodies, but also our souls, our minds. And while he does that divinely here on earth, we know that it's not going to be perfect until heaven, but there was going to be a day where we're going to be able to be completely healed forever with him. Which leads us to the last one, which we're going to look at tonight: Christ, our coming King. That Jesus is King, and that he is coming back one day, and he's going to make all things new, all things right. It's going to be as the world as if it was always meant to be. We're going to experience that with Jesus forever. And I'd like us to look at two scriptures tonight that paint a picture of Jesus as our King from two very different ends of the spectrum. The first is we're going to look at Jesus as King from his birth, and then Jesus as King in his second coming. Now, I realize this is a very unusual Christmas Eve topic. Can you acknowledge that with me? I've never heard a Christmas Eve service talking about Jesus Christ as coming king, because we always look at him as the baby in the manger. But just as much as Jesus was king then, he's king now, and he will be king forever. We want to tie all that together. In fact, I would argue this is very much what Christmas is all about. It's what it's all pointing toward. And so if you have a Bible with you, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Or if you have an app on your phone, turn to Matthew chapter 2. Or if you don't have one at all, that's okay. You can listen in and follow along as we look at the story of the Magi having visited Jesus after he was born in Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2. It's the first book of the New Testament. In fact, I just would put a little note in here that if you're looking to start reading the Bible and kind of get into it again and kind of see what is this all about, Matthew is a great place to start. It's the first book of the New Testament, which tells the story of Jesus' life. And so Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, what? King of the Jews. We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." We're going to skip the next several verses just for the sake of time tonight. It's regarding King Herod, who was a king that the Romans had put in place over that region. And the Magi have some interactions with him, not so good interactions with him. Let's skip down to verse 9. After they had heard the king, King Herod, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Did you catch the question the Magi asked when they entered into Jerusalem? Where is this one who has been born the king of the Jews? This is a fascinating question from a fascinating group of travelers from a distant country. They came 900 miles from the kingdom of Persia to Jerusalem over deserts on foot with a large caravan on the way. This would be what's now modern day Iraq. From the city of Baghdad. That's how far they traveled to Jerusalem. Now, tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m., we're going to have a Christmas service, and we're going to go a little deeper into who these Magi are, and so you can kind of tuck that away if you plan to be here tomorrow. We're going to behold Jesus again from this passage, looking a little bit deeper at the Magi. But suffice it to say, these men were not believers in God the way that you and I would think. They were pagan magicians. They were astronomers who studied the stars and astrologers who believed that the stars carried spiritual meanings. And so they were constantly studying all of that. But they knew, they had heard a prophecy about a king to be born in Jerusalem. And they saw a star over Bethlehem. And so they traveled. They went to go and to worship this Jesus, this king who was born. Now, the Bible does not refute that Jesus is a king. In fact, it actually, this story confirms that Jesus is a king. They came and they worshiped him. They gave him treasures. They bowed down to him. And actually, all of that fits in line with what the Bible tells us about Jesus and his birth. Because the Jews knew that from centuries back, there was going to be a king to be born. They knew that he was going to come in the line of King David. He was the promised Messiah to come. But interestingly, the only ones who show up to worship him as king are Magi, who don't even worship the one true God, who come and lay their treasures at his feet. The only ones who knew about his kingship. The Jews were expecting a different kind of king. They were expecting a king who would come with political might and a military and take the country by the horns and kick the Romans out and build up this glory of Israel like they had seen in the past of this kingdom. But Jesus didn't come like that, did he? There's no palace. He's in a stable. There's no royal family. It's Mary and Joseph who were blue-collar parents. There was no capital city. He was born in Bethlehem, a small country city outside of Jerusalem. It didn't happen the way everyone thought. If you wanted to welcome a king, there's a better way to do it, wouldn't you think? If you could tell God, hey, there's a better way to send your king to earth. In fact, we live in a day and age where there's been a transfer of power to a new king, and his name is King Charles III. If you remember, back in September, Queen Elizabeth passed away. She had been on the throne for many decades, and in her 90s, she passed away. September 8th, I think, was the day. And King Charles III took the throne. He is now reigning on the throne. However, he has not yet been coronated as king. Have you heard about this? It's going to come up on May 6th. There's going to be the shindig of the century because King Charles is being coronated as King of England on that day. Now, here's how they're doing it. They're going to invite 2,000 of the world's dignitaries to come and attend this event. People from all over the world, they say leading citizens of England and also government officials in England, they're going to come. They're going to be part of the immediate activities of the coronation and what's going on afterwards. By the way, that's actually a small invitation list because when his mom came to power, there were 8,000 on the invitation list. This is a modest 2,000. Probably for securities reasons in our day and age. But don't let that fool you because the entire nation of England is going to show up in London that day. And they're going to all want to get a peek at this new king. They're going to want to celebrate him. They're going to want to admire him, pay their respect. They're going to want to show their loyalty to their new king. They're going to come out in droves. On top of that, we live in a day and age of media, don't we? The news coverage is going to be all over the world. Social media, news media outlets. Also, you know who's invited? Who did you say? I heard it. Yeah, so we got Harry and Meghan that are coming, who are the outcasts. You know it's a big event if they're showing up. They're saying this is going to be like a royal wedding, except 10 times bigger. That's the kind of party they're going to throw. His crown jewels alone are worth $4 billion. If you're going to coronate a king, that's how you do it. God, what were you thinking? Why would Jesus come to earth in such an unexpected way? No royal announcement except to shepherds. No royal visits except for strange pagan magi from 900 miles away. Not the people of Israel. Not the who's who and the what's of Israel. He came in a way that was quiet, off the radar, humble, unexpected. Why? He came in a way that was going to lead to his life being one of humility, one of servanthood, one of sacrifice for us. Jesus is God who stepped out of heaven. And almost the entire world didn't even recognize him. So that even as he was living on earth, even as in his adulthood, as for the 3 years that he did a ministry on earth, most people did not even recognize him. The powers that be did not recognize him. In fact, they opposed him, even though he gave enough evidence by his teaching, by his healing of people, by being able to speak to wind and waves and make them be calm. They still put him to death on the cross. And didn't recognize who he is. But he went to the cross and he gave his life for us. King Jesus, God of the entire universe, willing to subject himself to death for you and for me. This is a different kind of king, folks. He was king at his birth, he was king in his life, and he laid down his life for us. What an incredibly audacious plan for our king. And still today, many people in the world do not recognize Jesus as king. They think to themselves things like he couldn't be king. I mean, look at what's wrong with our world. He doesn't have any control on our world. He must not because of how things are going. He must be some sort of myth or some sort of story. It's nice to read about him. He symbolizes love and sacrifice, but he's irrelevant to me. He's irrelevant to the future. He certainly has no bearing on my life. You may have fought those things before. You may have heard those things before. Jesus is still not recognized as king, but I declare to you that his kingdom is still very much in effect today. His kingdom is very much in effect in our world. You know what he told Pontius Pilate on the day that he was going to be crucified? He was on trial before Pontius Pilate, a Roman governor who had the authority to spare his life. And Pontius Pilate asked him the question, "Are you the king of the Jews like they say you are?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Meaning I'm not grabbing for a political kingdom. I'm not grabbing to take over with a military. My kingdom is not of this world, because if it were, my servants would have prevented me from being arrested. My kingdom is from another place. His kingdom is of heaven, and his kingdom comes in the life of every person who will receive him as king. And when you receive Jesus as king, things change. We become entirely different people. We become transferred out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. When God's people pray, when we have faith, when we ask, he moves in power in our lives. He doesn't fix everything. He doesn't change it all yet, because we're still waiting for the fullness of his kingdom. But today, his kingdom is here. Jesus announced it, and I'm announcing it again tonight. The kingdom of heaven is here. He's reigning in the hearts of all who receive him. It's a spiritual kingdom that we see at this time, not really with our eyes, but we can experience and know Jesus' kingship now. He's sovereignly guiding the course of human history. He's bringing it to a point where he's going to come back one day. So make no mistake, King Charles III is king in England for now. President Biden is president in the United States for now. But Jesus is king. And Jesus is coming back one day. Last week, I was driving to the office here at the church in the morning, and it was at sunrise. And so I love being out at sunrise, especially when it's not as early as it is in the summer, when it's more like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was driving out of my neighborhood, and I noticed something that was fascinating and beautiful. At that precise moment, the sun had just come over the horizon in the east, and sunlight was starting to filter in to the tops of houses and the tops of trees. But at the same time, it was a completely cloudy morning. Overhead, there were clouds everywhere, except right on the eastern horizon, there was a little gap where the clouds had not yet taken over. And so the sun had this little sliver of clearing to shine into the world. And for about 5 minutes, the sunlight was coming in on a cold morning. And then the sun rose a little, and the clouds went a little bit more to the east, and the sun was cut off for the rest of the day. It was one of those gloomy, cloudy, yucky days that we get in the wintertime here. You guys know what I'm talking about. Where it's like, hey man, take some more vitamin D, because you need to cheer up, right? It was one of those kind of days. It's like, man, when is the sun going to come out next? And it was cloudy. You would, if you didn't know better, you could be tempted to think, well, the sun doesn't shine anymore. Like, yeah, I saw it for 5 minutes, but is the sun actually still there? Like, does it exist? Because all I see is clouds. If you've ever flown an airplane before, you know how neat it is to get on that plane and get up above the cloud deck and see the clouds below that look like fluffy marshmallows that you think you could like get out and play on those. And up above all of those thick clouds is bright blue sky and sunshine. And up there, it never gets cloudy. Up above the atmosphere of the earth, it's always bright sunshine. But down on the earth, where the clouds are covering, it's gloomy, it's dark, it's cold. And in the same way, Jesus is still king, even when it looks gloomy, even when it looks cloudy. And there's going to be a day when those clouds break up. through the darkness of our world. And Jesus himself is going to come back with a full sunshine into our world, and we won't even be able to take him in. Every eye will see him, and he will come gloriously to set up his full kingdom on earth and restore everything back to how it should be. And there's going to be one day a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be created because the old is going to pass away. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. We saw his 5 minutes of sunshine when he was here on earth. But he's coming back in full glory one day. You know, when he comes back, everything and everyone on the right side of the kingdom, the side of everyone who's received him, is going to receive their full inheritance and blessing and salvation in Christ. Everyone who's received him already, everyone who has come to him and known that he is a Savior and said, oh, Christ, will you save me? I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. And he washes us clean. That day, we look forward to his coming with joy, with anticipation, because we know what he's going to bring in our world. Imagine a day when all things are made new. When you no longer have to worry about getting sick again. When you no longer have to worry about something breaking down. When you never have to go to a Chick-fil-A parking lot by Wegmans and Target and fight all that traffic. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. When you're never going to age again. He's going to heal everything. He's going to restore everything. There's no longer going to be any dysfunction at Christmas time when you get together with your family. All relationships will be made perfect and whole. For all who have received Jesus as king, that's what's going to happen. But everyone who's on the wrong side of the king, everyone who has opposed him, everyone who has rejected him or ignored him, there's going to be judgment. And this is actually a wonderful thing, if you think about it, because imagine a world where there's no more sex trafficking ever again. Where there's no ruler, some leader who's single-handedly abusing his power and taking from people and cruelly leading his country. You can think of several names right now, I'm sure. Imagine a world with no more crime, with no more pride. It's all squashed. It's all brought under the proper judgment it needs, and it's actually a really good thing. However, if you're on the side where you have not accepted and recognized Jesus as king, it would be a terrifying day for you and for all who have not received him. Jesus is coming back, and it's really a tale of either joy or terror. Jesus is king. And he will rule this world. But I want to point you then to the second passage. I showed you the first one is the passage of the Magi coming and worshiping him at his birth. And he was every bit as king then as he is now. We just don't see it as much. But that day when he comes back, I want to read a scripture to you from Revelation chapter 11. Jesus is passionate about this day. Revelation chapter 11 is a story of what happens in heaven, the conversation in heaven when Jesus finally comes in his fullness, when he physically comes back to earth. Starting in verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. Cue the music. Hallelujah, hallelujah, forever and ever. Handel's Messiah is written directly out of this passage right here. And the 24 elders who were seated on thrones before God, they can't even stay on those thrones. Even they're humans who are ruling there, but really God is the one who's in control. They're just there to worship him. They fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your saints, and those who reverence your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." And you hear it here in verse 17. It's talking about this coming back, and he's taken his great power, and it's not like he wasn't reigning before, but now he's taking his full power, and he's reigning physically on the earth. A real, not political, but God-sized kingdom here that we can now live in. And it all depends which side are you on. Are you on the side of those who are destroying the earth? Or in other words, not necessarily about the nature of earth, but just in our sin, in our rebellion, we're destroying all the good that God has made. And or are you on the side where there's the reward of saints and those who reverence his name? I love that idea. Do you reverence the name of Jesus? Do you recognize who he is? And have you accepted him and received him? And I want to talk about that for a few minutes. Is Jesus your king? That's the question of the night. He is king, but is he your king? If you already have him in your life, what a wonderful gift to have Jesus as your king. It's the greatest gift you could have ever received. It's better than an Atari 7800. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you've already received Jesus as king, behold him. Take a look at him and treasure him and go, wow, like what he has done for me, I know that one day I'm going to see him face to face. This God who I have trusted in, this God who I've prayed to, this God who has saved me, I'm going to see him. And as hard as it is to ever look at the sunshine, if you ever try to do that, try to do the sun stare contest, you know, like, can't do that for very long. Don't do that. Kids, don't do the sun stare. But in heaven, think about trying to look at Jesus in all of his glory. The fullness of the unveiled presence of Jesus. It says we're not going to need the sun in heaven because Jesus is going to light up the whole place. And we're going to see him face to face. And if you know him as your Savior, it won't be a terrifying moment as much as it may send that overwhelming feeling through you. Instead, we're going to be welcomed. The King of all, the Creator of everything, the Savior of heaven and earth is going to welcome you in by name and receive you into his full presence. That's an amazing thought. When he comes back, we're going to get to see him as he is. And he's going to bring us in, and we're going to not only be welcomed into heaven, but if he's king and he calls us his children, we're going to have royalty in our blood. We are royal children of the king. Princes and princesses, we're going to get to reign with him, though he's the one really in charge. We're going to get to be with him in his kingdom forever. A beautiful and wonderful kingdom. Not on fluffy clouds playing harps. We're going to be with the king. If you know him already, be thanking him. Start right now just like thanking him for all that you're going to have. In heaven. Thank him for all that he's doing in your life right now as he reigns as king in your life. If you don't have Jesus as your king, if you're hearing this tonight going, I don't know if I've ever looked at him like this, that he really is the one in control of heaven and earth. He really is the one who should be in control of my life and who I should honor and I should reverence and I should recognize. What would it look like in your life to coronate Jesus as king? Think about that. King Charles is already the king of England, but until they coronate him, the nation has not yet recognized him, has not yet received him as king. What would that look like in your life? I want to give you a picture of what that would be. If you picture in your own heart, in your own life, that there's a throne. And someone's sitting on that throne all the time. And it's you. We start off life that we are in control. We are the ones in charge of our life. We make our own decisions, don't we? Like, it's my life. I can do with it what I want. And when we sit on that throne, we get to call the shots. The problem is that we don't do a great job of that, number one. And the other problem is there's only room for one king. And we've set up our own little kingdoms in opposition to the one king. And one day that's not going to play out so well. So what we've got to do then is picture in your mind's eye stepping off of that throne and saying, Jesus, I have taken up the space that's rightfully yours. And I'm sorry. And this is wrong. Will you forgive me? And you step off the throne and make room for him to step onto the throne of your life, to make the decisions, to call the shots, to be the one who is reigning in your life. And graciously and with his love, he comes. And he's not a king who comes and says, okay, now we're going to whip things into shape. Now I'm going to show you who's boss. And he's going to now abuse his power. And he's going to make you do things that you don't want to do. And he's going to just... What you need to know is he's the king who in his first coming, remember, he was the one who came and died for you. He's a servant king. He's a loving king. And in fact, when you step off that throne, he comes up on the throne, he embraces you as now a son or daughter. And he invites us to spend the time with him, to know him and to reveal himself to us. And we get to have a new life with Jesus. So you can't call in 2,000 dignitaries tonight. You can't have the bling that's fit for the king of $4 billion. But all the angels in heaven will rejoice tonight with you if you will receive the king. So I want to just invite us into a time of reflection, a time of prayer. If you would just come before Jesus, bow your heads, and in your heart, tonight, if you have received Jesus as king, let the echoes of praise continue to roll in your heart. The same praise that was given to him by those magi so many years ago, who laid treasures at his feet, who worshiped him and bowed before him. Let the echoes of that praise. Think of the day that he saved you. Let the echoes of praise continue in your heart tonight. That Jesus as king has come into your life. Maybe you've even done a little struggle match with him of trying to take that throne back from him. And tonight, just reaffirm your faith in him. Picture the king's face tonight, smiling as he is present in your life, as he's loved you, as he's provided for you, taken care of you. Look ahead now to his coming, second coming, with a renewed anticipation, longing for that day. If you've never received him, tonight he's ready to he's ready to save you. If you'll step off of that throne and let him onto the throne. And so tonight, if you don't even know how to pray, you're not even sure how to do this, just use the simple words that come from your heart of, God, I've been wrong. And I step off the throne of my life. Jesus, I want you to be on the throne of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Save me. I receive you and I trust you as my king. As we're still here, our heads bowed, I just point you to the first verse of Joy to the World, to reflect on this when it says, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. This song is echoing the words of kingship by Jesus. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Is there room in your heart tonight for Jesus the King? If you've received him tonight, then your answer is yes. There's room in my heart. I want you. And this is a way of affirming that. Still, everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This is a way of saying, that's me. I received Jesus tonight in my life. Make a statement of that. Would you just raise your hand? Well, no one's going to look at you. I just want to see and just affirm that in your life. If you receive Jesus as Savior tonight, yes, thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here on this Christmas Eve, receive Jesus as your Savior. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming for us, for being our King who suffered for us and died for us. We thank you that you're coming back one day as the one to come back and get us, to gather your people. For anyone who received you tonight, I pray there would just be a switch in their heart, Lord, that, like, I've received Jesus. He's mine. I'm his. They'll begin to walk in that new relationship, learning how to recognize you as King every day, and how much of a blessing that is to have that protection, that covering by you, our sins washed away and forgiven. That you're our Savior, you're our Sanctifier who's in us and with us now, and you're a healer. Bring healing as King, Lord. And we look forward to the day that you're coming back, and we worship you. Thank you, Jesus. King Jesus, we worship you.